city there, dear Mr. Hope, you older friends, now you young people. When I was asked to come and see you and if able to speak to you, the first thing I did was to ask the Lord to give me something to speak to you about. When you speak to young people, you older people must forgive. They're young in years. Maybe they've not been so favoured like some of us, of having godly parents and brought up in a Christian home. So we must make allowance for that. When I go to a Sunday school meeting, I generally ask questions to see what the children know. But I'm not going to ask you many questions. Three little texts came to my mind. The first text, two words, the babe. Now you'll remember that. That's not a long text, is it? The babe. And you'll find that when you go home, and I hope you've all got a Bible. If you haven't got a Bible, I hope when you have your prize given, that'll be the first thing you'll ask for. Either at a Sunday school meeting a little while ago, and there were 75 children, and when I distributed the prizes, I distributed, I think, 16 Bibles, and the superintendent said, they all asked for a Bible, Mr. Shrimpton, and now they've got what they've asked for. Now I hope all of you will have a Bible of your own. And when you've got it, you look up where this first text is found in the Gospel by Luke, in the early chapters, and you search till you find it. The babe. Ye shall find the babe. What comes after that? Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Can you remember what comes after that? Where he was lying? Lying in a... That's a good girl. Lying in a manger. The most wonderful babe that's ever been born. Fancy, the creator of heaven and earth. And there they laid him. In a manger where the beasts were housed and fed, a babe. Now, this was a most wonderful babe in so many ways. He was a sinless babe. Lately, I've seen many dear babies. I've looked into their faces. I've heard people remark, oh, what a beautiful babe. And quite right, outwardly. But mothers and fathers know, who fear God, that it's not true inwardly. Now this babe was born without sin, sinless. Every baby that I've seen have been born in sin, although they're so beautiful to look at, so healthy and so bonny, yet there they are by nature, born in sin. And then this dear babe also, you remember, that they laid in a manger, grew up. And here comes the next text. The child. You see, he never remained a baby. He grew up to become a child. But I don't read that he ever went to school. And if you have your Bibles and you read them, I don't think you'll be able to find a scripture where he went to school. And when he was grown up to become a man, they often wondered, how knoweth this man these letters and all these things, seeing that he never went to school? And yet, the most learned and most wonderful person that ever lived. Now, this child, when he reached 12 years of age, like some of you, I expect, or will be, if God spares your life, his father, his earthly father and mother, took him to the great city of Jerusalem. I wonder if any of you children know how old he was when Joseph and Mary took him up to Jerusalem, because it was the great Passover feast. 12 years of age, that's a good boy. 12 years of age. And I can remember when my father took me to the great city of London, right from the country, and oh, how wonderful it all seemed to me, and I was glad to get back into the country. And so, when he was 12 years of age, he saw this wonderful feast, and I expect he asked a good many questions too. But when they were going back home, now where did he live? Can you remember the home where he lived? Yes? Nazareth. Nazareth. Oh, I like to go down to Nazareth and see that home. I think it was one of the most beautiful homes that then existed. A godly father, a godly mother, and then you remember in time he had brothers and sisters. Mary was the mother of a large family. But when he was at Jerusalem and they were all going back home to Nazareth, they began to inquire because something had gone wrong. Now, what had gone wrong?
He's missing.
Who is missing? Oh, what a scare that was. I know what it is to have a little child lost. I remember on one occasion our little girl, only 2 years and a half, her mother had just taken her out into the garden with her dolly and pram, and went out to call her for a little glass of milk for lunch, and she's missing. Missing. Mother comes straight to where I was employed and says, Lily's missing, we've lost her. I said, where have she gone? Have you inquired of the friends round about? Yes, but no one seems to know. Have you been to the police station? Oh, yes. And we're to let them know if she's not found at 2 o'clock. Well, I said, I'd better go down and see if I can find her. I think I'll go where Grandma and Granddad lives. Because every Sunday we had 2.5 miles to take them to chapel. And we had to cross 3 bridges, little footbridges over the water. And her granddad had promised her a little chicken to look after. One for her, one for the little boy, and one for the other daughter. And lo and behold, when I got down where Grandma lived, there was the little maid waiting outside the gate for Mother, Grandmother to come out to. And she had crossed 3 bridges, a very busy road, and she only had her little shoes on. And yet how wonderfully God protected her. I know what it is to have a lost child. What must it have been to Mary when she lost that dear child, Jesus? Now he wasn't lost, was he? Do any of you children know where they found him?
Temple.
In the temple. Oh, what an example. And I often think he was the Sunday school teacher on that occasion. And instead of having little children to teach, why, he had grown up men. Those learned men. And this child, 12 years of age, was asking them questions and answering the questions that they put to him. And I've often wondered, I should love if it had been recorded, some of the questions that he asked and some of the questions that he answered. But it's not recorded. But we do read, they wondered at his answers, his wisdom. And then he seemed quite happy. We don't read he was fretting for father and mother. Quite happy in the midst of these doctors. And then in came his mother. Oh, look at her face. You can see she's been weeping. And you could see on the face of Joseph that he was greatly worried. And I expect they listened for a while to hear what he was saying to these great doctors. And then Mary went up to him and said, "My son, why hast thou dealt so with us? Thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." Now, dear children, can any of you tell me his answer? Oh, such a wonderful answer. Yes? What was that?
Do his father's business.
That's a good girl, yes. Wist ye not, 12 years of age, answering his mother, wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And I don't think Mary said anything more to it. Listen, he went down with them and was subject unto them. He was the most obedient boy that ever lived. I hope you are obedient, boys and girls, to mother, to father, or and even to your Sunday school superintendent and teachers. Oh, obedient. Now, he's grown up into a man. The babe, the child, now is grown up into a man. And the most beautiful man that ever trod this earth. Well, he is to me. And I believe he is to some of our older friends here in school this afternoon. But he is to me. Why is that? There are other lovely men. No, not like him. Now you'll find that text in the Gospel by John. And Pilate, who was Pilate? Can any of you children tell me who Pilate was in the days of the Lord Jesus? Why, yes, dear? And Pilate brings out this lovely man near the great crowd of people all outside waiting and watching, longing to see him come out so they could laugh at him and make game of him and spitefully ill-treat him. Brings him out and he said these words, "Behold the man, that dear babe that was laid in Bethlehem's manger, grew up to be a child and an obedient and loving child, and was able to say to his mother that important answer. He's now a full-grown man, over 30 years of age. And Pilate brings him out, and all around his dear forehead were scars. And I don't read that they ever bathed them. They plaited a crown of thorns and placed on his head. And when Pilate brought him out, he said, "Behold the man." Made no difference to them. All they said was, "Away with him, away with him, let him be crucified." Jesus, I've often sung that with my children, Jesus, who lived above the sky, came down to be a man and die. And in the Bible we may read how very good he used to be. He went about, he was so kind, to cure poor people who were blind, and many who were sick and lame. You know that's true. Your teachers, I expect, when they read, and you read with them, often speak of some of those wonderful miracles that he performed on those that were sick, blind, lame, deaf. But here's a verse that always touches me. I hope under the blessing of God it has touched you. But such a cruel death he died. Not like many I've seen lay quietly on their beds, waiting to pass out of time into eternity. It was not so with him, the great Creator. Such a cruel death he died. He was hung up and crucified, and those kind hands that did such good, they nailed them to a cross of wood. He knew how wicked, knows how wicked I am, knows how wicked you are by nature, knows how wicked our older friends are by nature. He knew how wicked men had been. He knew that God must punish sin. So out of pity, Jesus said, "I'll bear the punishment instead." And he died instead of me. He did. And he died instead of that poor thief that was nailed next to him. Oh, and there are thousands that he died instead of them. Dear boys and girls, may you be spared to live and know in the heart that he died for you. There I must leave, Mr. Hope. God bless them. Bless you and the teachers in your work and our older friends in the class. Amen.